The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Wow, some of the visuals have been astounding. And whereas I'm not a Joe Biden fan, that image of him on his knees talking to two Holocaust survivors really got to me. And I thought it was so powerful.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, obviously, a massive day with many events. I'd like to start with a little bit of fun with the listeners, if I may, Howard, because sure. I read somewhere that Joe Biden's code name for the security services is Celtic. That's what they apparently call him in code. He's called Celtic. The thing that amused me a little bit more than that was that former President Donald Trump's code name was Mogul, which I think is really very pertinent. Apparently Barack Obama was known as Renegade. So I would like to ask the listeners what Secret Service code names they would give to us.
I think it's a very, very fine question. Wow, Secret Service code names for me and for Anthony. I think that would be very, very interesting. Wow, Celtic is his, right? You said.
Apparently it's Celtic. Yeah, I mean, the Secret Service operation.
Well, it's no longer massive. Secret. We know that now, huh?
Well, it's the Secret Service, which I don't know how secret that service is anymore, because apparently there was a Secret Service agent who was actually sent back from Jerusalem after being involved in an altercation, apparently hitting somebody. According to the reports, the police were called, and this particular individual was sent back. I think they were here, you know, ahead of the Joe Biden visit. I mean, the Secret Service operation is massive. Plane loads of equipment preceded the landing of Air Force One, with cars, with limousines, with people, with equipment, with the telecommunications equipment. It's really an unbelievable operation that's been mounted ahead of Joe Biden's visit to Israel. But I agree with you. First of all, him coming off the plane, off Air Force One, being met by the triumvirate, Naftali Bennett, Yair Lapid, and Isaac Herzog, the leaders, as they are at the moment, of Israel, the president, the current prime minister, and of course, the immediate past prime minister, Naftali Bennett, all there at the steps of the plane to meet Joe Biden. He seemed very, very sprightly indeed as he came down the steps of the plane and he met everybody. They all put their hands out to shake his hand and he returned with a fist bump. And right. If you just,
I mean, do they not? I mean, we knew the protocol about not shaking hands.
I know.
Had a dress rehearsal and everything. How did they forget that?
It gets worse, because as he went down the line, it was fist bumps and fist bumps and fist bumps all the way down. And then when eventually he was taken to this grandstand where a number of hosted dignitaries were seated, including leader of the opposition, Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu grabbed his hand. He literally had no opportunity to put the fist out. Netanyahu grabbed his hand and shook it and held on to it for ages and ages and ages. And you kind of just felt this discomfort, because we all we'd seen the fist bumps down the line until it came to Netanyahu, and then there was just no escape. The hand was grabbed and deed was done. And the other nice little strange story surrounds Benny Gantz, the defense minister, who was filmed opening a bottle of water with his teeth. Now, on TV and at the ceremony to welcome the US president, and apparently this has gone down in Iranian social media, people wondering why Benny Gantz decided that it was appropriate to open his bottle of water with his teeth. I will leave that to all of you to decide. But yes, I mean, obviously the meaty part was Joe Biden being welcomed at Ben Gurion Airport by all the dignitaries who were there, and then being led to an area, or being motored to an area of the airport which had the Iron Dome set up and the Iron Beam set up that allowed him to investigate that. And of course, yes, in spite of the protocol of fist bumps, he found it appropriate to go on his knees to those Holocaust survivors and to kiss them. He literally broke all the fist bump protocols and got very, very close to them indeed. And of course, you know, wrote his note at Yad Vashem and made the statement that he ensures that his children and his grandchildren will never forget And that was the message, really, that he left at Yad Vashem yesterday by saying, you know, always remember, never forget. That was really the message. So that really was the main part, I suppose, of yesterday's events. And I was also very much touched, as you were, by his gesture of going on his knees to those Holocaust survivors, listening to their stories, being really, really interested in all of what they had to say, and making sure that this message is that we would never forget and that we always need to remember, because remembering is really half the story. As long as we don't forget what happened, we can move on from there. So he has a very busy day ahead of him today as well. He will be meeting this morning with Prime Minister Yair Lapid. Apparently, they will have a meeting under four eyes, as they like to call it. No advisors present, no entourage present, just the two of them will be meeting under four eyes for a period of time. I understand that that meeting is due to take place at a very well-known Jerusalem hotel, the Waldorf, which is exactly in the area that you described when you saw the motorcade go past, very, very near to the other hotels that are around in King David Street. And apparently they will then be joined by members of their team who will join the meeting. And apparently that is when the so-called Jerusalem Declaration will be signed, which is really just the U.S. government's commitment, ongoing, continuing commitment to Israel. And that will be followed by a press conference where both Yair Lapid and President Joe Biden will make statements. Interestingly, as part of the meetings that are taking place, there will also be a meeting which will be joined virtually by the President of India and of the United Arab Emirates. They will apparently join Joe Biden and Yair Lapid virtually to have some discussions about areas of common interest. And then the focus will move to the president's residence, where President Joe Biden will be hosted by Israeli President Isaac Herzog. And that will go on this afternoon. And of course, this evening, Herzog, Lapid, and Biden will all be guests of honor at the opening of the Maccabi Games, is the 21st Maccabi Games to be held, the opening ceremony at the Teddy Stadium, famously named after former Jerusalem mayor, I apologize, Teddy Kollek. That's in Jerusalem. And so that will effectively bring to an end the Israeli side of the visit of the President of the United States before he moves on to the Palestinian Authority side of the visit tomorrow. And of course, then moving on to Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. And as you rightly pointed out, there have been those concessions made where Israeli flights will be able to overfly Saudi Arabia. And there will be direct flights, we understand, for the purpose of the Hajj next year, when those Hajjis would want to fly from Israel, members of Israel's Muslim population, people from the Palestinian Authority area who might wish to make the Hajj to Mecca. Apparently next year there will be direct flights. And perhaps Issa Al-Frey, who was the one, the Israeli minister, very, very much involved in arranging this with Saudi Arabia, he may well be one of those people on the Hajj, who knows. We do understand that aside from this announcement of direct relations with Saudi Arabia, there are some further announcements that we might expect during the time of the visit of President Joe Biden. We are not sure what they might be, but we will be looking out, obviously, for the next leg of his tour, and we will have to wait to see what announcements may be forthcoming during that time.
How is the Israeli press covering the Biden visit? Is it largely seen as positive so far?
Well, I think there's some interesting things that one might bring forward here, just to let listeners have a feeling of some of the background, some of the things that are going on outside of the formalities. First of all, there were a number of gestures that the Israeli government made immediately prior to the visit of Joe Biden. So, for example, they granted 1,500 more work permits to residents of Gaza wishing to come to work to Israel. There was a huge backlog of people who have married Palestinians who live in Area C of the Judean Samaria area, and that Area C is under Israeli administration. And there's been a massive backlog of people who have married people there and who requested residence permits. And so on the day before Joe Biden visited, 5,500 more residence permits were granted to people who called for so-called family reunification, who wished to be residents of those areas. Israel saw fit to grant those. So there was quite a rush of things, gestures that were made by the Israeli government immediately prior to Joe Biden's visits. In addition to that, there were some controversies surrounding posters that were put up. I spoke about the poster that Peace Now put up in Tel Aviv that was accepted, which showed both Israeli and Palestinian flags and welcomed Joe Biden. Well, there's more to it than that, because the Israeli group B'Tselem, very, very left-wing group, have decided to put up these posters saying, "Mr. President, this is apartheid," referring to parts of the Judean Samaria, particularly some parts of the Palestinian Authority area. So they've decided to announce that, which I found to be very distasteful and clearly factually incorrect, because really this is as far from apartheid as you could hope to get for people who actually know what apartheid really is and was. This is really not it. As far as the Israeli press is concerned, they've been somewhat skeptical about exactly what the purpose of this visit really is. Why is the president here? What does he hope to achieve? What is it about Prime Minister Yair Lapid, who of course is in a caretaker prime minister role? How does it really affect him? There will be a meeting later today, of course, with leader of the opposition, former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, because Joe Biden didn't want to be seen to be supporting one party or another, particularly in this area leading up, in this era, in this period of time leading up to the election on the 1st of November. The press have not really been sure what sort of an angle to take. Mm. But to be honest, there hasn't really been anything meaty that they can get their teeth into, that they can really hang their hats on and really talk a lot about. And one of the articles that I saw said, "Will President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Yair Lapid please tell us what this is all about? What's the main part of this visit? Please talk about what is important, because at the moment we're really not sure exactly what the whole visit really is structured around." And I have little doubt that, of course, Iran will be very much on the agenda. But is that really what this is all about?
To me, it's so obvious that I'm surprised that anyone's even asking the question. I think it's a phenomenally important trip. It's an important trip for the Democrats, who have been perceived in the United States and around the world as moving very far left and away from the support of some of the values and some of the friends that the Democratic Party and the United States has had. So what this has done is it's moved the party back to the center, which is very, very important. From Israel's perspective, Israel has also suffered a tremendous amount of very negative press in terms of the death of the journalist, in terms of many things over the last while. And what this does is it gives Israel a global stamp of approval that the United States is a great friend of Israel. Joe Biden saying that you don't need to be a Jew to be a Zionist. These are things that resonate around the world and give legitimacy, an enormous amount of legitimacy to Israel. So from those two perspectives alone, I think that this is an incredibly important trip. Add Iran to it, which I do think is reaching a crisis point, but we don't need the American president to visit for that. But I think that is an added bonus, as is the movement towards peace with Saudi Arabia.
So what's interesting for me is that previous visits by U.S. presidents all seem to have focused around the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Mm. And this one doesn't. And some people are wondering why.
For the reasons I think that I've just mentioned, if it becomes about that, then it doesn't achieve its purpose.
So people are saying that, perhaps it's wrong that he should be visiting without really being focused on that issue, because that's really the most crucial issue to be resolved in the Middle East, according to the views of some of the articles that I've read. And so there is a question as to why this issue seems to have been very much on the side, on the back burner, not being one of the crucial crunch issues of the visit. It just seems to be there in the background, but not really being dealt with. And I think that this whole notion of the U.S. support for Israel, I just wonder whether it takes the visit, a visit by a U.S. president, in order to reinforce that, because I think that the common interest that Israel and the U.S. have in the Middle East and in generally around the world, I think is pretty obvious. And I don't know that it necessarily requires the U.S. president to come here and to reinforce that view. Clearly, coming here does reinforce the view. There's no doubt about it. But the question is whether it really adds a great deal to the relationship, to the way in which Israel's relationship with the U.S. is presented to the international community by him coming to visit here. And I'm personally not sure. I'm not quite as determined as in my view as you are, Howard, about how valuable this particular visit is. I think it's very, very nice. I don't think it does any harm at all. I think it reinforces
Israel's relationship. I'll tell you why. Is because you're looking at it from inside Israel. I'm looking at it from outside of Israel. And I think that the value of this trip is actually not necessarily, I think it's obviously there is a value for Israel internally, but I think the value for Israel externally and in the eyes of the world is much greater than it is for Israel from the inside. That's why I think we perceive it a bit, not differently, maybe. but from different, slightly different perspectives.
That may well be so. I mean, and one of the interesting things that President Biden said yesterday when he was being interviewed for Israeli TV is that the military option against Iran is a last resort, is a very last resort. And I just wonder what sort of message that sends, because it almost sounded like it was not really a last resort. It's a no resort. It's kind of highly unlikely to happen, if ever. So I just wonder how strong a message that sends in terms of how determined the U.S. is to confront Iran and the Iranian nuclear program. You know, he did say that there's only one thing that's worse than the current Iran, which is an Iran with nuclear weapons. Now, I don't know if that's the only thing that's worse, but it clearly is a great deal worse than the current situation. I'm not entirely convinced about the U.S. view on Iran and the way that President Biden is presenting it, and I'm not sure that it's particularly helpful. I think the Iranians may turn around and say, actually, that this has helped their cause more than it's helped ours by him making these statements. But I think that a lot of this will be viewed with retrospect. In other words, while it's happening, we're kind of in the middle of it. And I think that within a week or two or three, we'll be able to look back on it with a little bit of some 2020 hindsight and say, this is what it's contributed or not. But I fully accept that I'm looking at from very much inside things and your views from outside. And it's helpful to have those contradicting views to look at them from different angles.
Anthony Reich, that's all we have time for, unfortunately. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and a wonderful, healthy and happy weekend.